Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Hi, folks. You want to save some money using promo code THELASTDROP? Of course you do. So head over to manscaped.com. Manscaped Performance Package is the best men's hygiene bundle you could ever receive. First off, you get the Weed Whacker, which is the electric nose and ear hair trimmer. I absolutely love this thing and have been using it regularly since I received the 4.0 Performance Package. But that's not all. You also get a pair of underwear that are just oh so comfortable, and I would know because I'm wearing them as we speak. You also receive the ball deodorant, which protects your family jewels from smelling like holiday drools. You also get the ball toner, which is a quick pick-me-up for whenever you want to introduce some style to your balls, and it's good for you when you're on the road. And last but not least, you receive the Lawnmower 4.0. This beauty is the personification of keeping your balls trimmed to perfection. It's cordless, it's waterproof, it comes with a 4000K LED spotlight to make sure you don't miss an inch of hair on those balls. This bad boy has specifically engineered ceramic blades to help cut through thick hair while reducing pulling, nicks, or cuts. Trust me on this, your balls will thank you. And that's not all. When you go to checkout, you can use promo code THELASTDROP, THELASTDROP, to receive 20% off. That's The Last Drop, THELASTDROP, at manscaped.com. As we always say, don't stop, keep pouring. Well, we're now also saying, don't stop, keep shaving, because your balls will thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, the whole wide world, Mr. 305 himself is listening to this, Cody. Welcome to another edition of The Last Drop. I am your godfather, Whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
Cody hears 305 and he thinks I'm talking about him and shit. Which I am, by the way. Mr. 305 himself, yeah. Mm-hmm. He missed a 310, though. Wait, what's your... Hold on.
305.
Yeah, what's your area code? What's your area code?
Yeah, 310.
Yeah, you 310. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much all of California, to be honest, 310. So, I just got quick breaking news to talk about. So we all know last month I did a U.S. liquor... pretty much all these store picks I've gotten from for the month and stuff like that. So basically just showing some love. So I wanted to show some love by talking about this real quick. I just saw it on Instagram right now. A professional athlete just stole from their store. He's a professional soccer player for the, what is he on? Is he, I ain't allowed to know the name of this team. I think it's the Sacramento something. Sacramento's a shithole anyway. I don't even know the name of this team, whatever and stuff, but he's about 22 years old. His name is Julian Chavez. This motherfucker, I'm looking at it right now. You can see the photos. This motherfucker, it looked like I see two cans, and one looked like a Red Bull, can of Red Bull, Cody. And I can't tell what that bottle is, but that bottle looked like a George Clooney's tequila. The hell is that called? I'm not blanking on the name of that tequila now, all of a sudden. Damn, what the hell is the name of that tequila now? Whatever.
Yeah, got me curious now.
Yeah, hold on. What's that? Not Clase. What is George Clooney's tequila, people? Hold on. Now I got to Google the shit. I can't believe I'm blanking on it. I want to say Tramana, but I know that's the Rocks tequila. Give me a moment. Oh, Casamigos. I don't know why I forgot that shit. Casamigos. I ain't going to lie. All the celebrity tequila, they all sound the same name anyway, so... Well, yeah, it looked like he got a bottle of Casamigos in his hand, and I see a can of Red Bull. He's got two friends with him and shit. Yeah, and it looked like the owner just put him on blast because apparently they were in conversation, you know, talking. And the owner just said, hey, look, the dude said, can I Venmo you the cash? And he just said, no, I want you to come in the store and pay me in cash face to face or whatever and stuff. And I was like, yeah, rightfully so. He was like, oh, I can't do that, man. You know, I live so-and-so here. He posted the text messages and shit like that. He said, I'm from Oakland, man. I'm not from L.A. It's like, bitch, if you can steal from me, then you can get on a flight and fly your ass out here and pay me too. And this dude, I guess he talked to the, who was this? The aunt called. The aunt called and tried to, like, you know, reconcile differences here. And the store owner was like, look, I could just go straight to the police and file a report. She just wrote, Cody, you're going to laugh at this part. She wrote, file it then, and then did a shrug shoulder.
Jesus Christ.
Look, you can see it right there. Look, right there. It just says, file it then. Man. So then she tried to use... He's like, I gave him a chance to come in the store or whatever. They didn't do it. And you know what her comment was of that, Cody? They just kids. They just kids. I am so sick. I've been hearing this for the past 2 fucking months about one other dude or whatever and shit who's 23 goddamn years old, 24 or whatever his age is now. They just kids. The kid cutoff line... It's usually around
old ass kids.
Yeah, some old ass kids, whatever. Especially if you're a professional athlete, you making more than the average kid, Cody. You know what I'm saying? So, shit, they making more than both me and you put together. they making more than most 30-year-olds make, Cody. So,
ain't that some shit?
Yeah, the audacity to steal some shit that ain't even worth almost $100, Cody. I'm insulted by this or whatever, because as a proud, I was going to say shopper. Yeah, I guess I could say shopper of this store and my city. And also, too, just we do this show here called The Last Drop, where we talk about the fine spirits and try to give our props to the stores that treat me and Cody right around here and stuff. And we'll call out the stores that treat us like shit, too, or any other people like that as well, too. I hate to see a fine establishment like this self gets robbed over some petty little shit, too. The fact that they didn't even take good shit neither. I think that's the most puzzling effect for me, whatever. It's like, Cody, if I'm gonna rob a bank, Cody, I ain't trying to steal $100. I'm taking the whole bank. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking this whole vault. This whole vault about to be empty. They just kids. I'm so sick of hearing that. We've been hearing that with Ja Morant for the past 2 months. He's just a kid. He don't know no better. Them are some old ass kids. I tell you what, he get arrested, he ain't gonna be tried as a kid. He ain't going to juvie, Cody. Motherfucker's going to straight fucking grown man jail. Grown ass man jail. So
yeah, gonna grow up real quick then.
Yeah,
get some cuffs on him.
Yeah, he gonna grown man cuffs too. Grown man cuffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Grown man raping.
Yeah, ain't no Toys R Us cuffs either. No Party City. No fake ones. And costumes. Yeah.
He gonna be shoving grown man bottles up his ass and sneak him in prison and shit, Cody. Do you got Venmo? Bitch, get out of here. Shouldn't have stolen shit in the first place. Damn, that's some bullshit. Anyway, on to some other things. It is here, The Last Drop. Cody just down. God damn, slow down, dude. You just downed the fuck out of that food and water. slow the fuck down, dude. Shit.
Wait, man.
Lush, but damn. Shit. That motherfucker, you just seen that food.
Oh, bro, you don't know me, man. You know, when it comes to me and food, dude, that shit did not last.
Motherfucker was like a cartoon.
They call me the human vacuum.
Motherfucker was like a cartoon character in the back and shit. Like, like shit. Every time I looked at the camera, I just saw him guzzling water. Oh, shit. I'm like, God damn. Hey, look, if you die, don't die on this show, please. Actually, die on this show, that'd be racist.
Hey, I can't make any promises. I can't make any promises.
Motherfucker was struggling. Shit, he was. He had chopsticks and a fork in his hand too. People, he was at the same time. Because whatever them chopsticks didn't pick up, that motherfucker said the fork would pick up.
Exactly. Man. Yeah, I need a backup.
That motherfucker had a backup and shit. Damn, shit. Even he got a Batman shirt on today. People too. Batman looking at him like. The fuck? Take a breather. the fuck is wrong with you? It's like, shit. Ah, damn. You all right over there now? You good? Shit. Hold on. Motherfucker out of breath now. Hold on.
That shit's still stuck in my esophagus.
That motherfucker, like, I feel like a professional soccer player now. Shit. He's like, I just ran a lot of shit. Damn. So anyway, people, it is a new month. It's June. It's summertime now. Summer.
Sure don't look like it. It kind of feel like it's all muggy and shit, but it sure don't look like it.
It looked like winter.
Shitty as well. It's all humid. I feel like shit. I'm all sweaty right now. It's disgusting. I probably gonna take another shower after this.
That's funny because I got a fucking breeze going through. I see plants blowing and shit right now outside. I'm like, what the hell? Like, so
yeah, I'm sitting by the patio and all this shit. And there ain't no breeze coming right here. They all breeze in your side of town, my friend.
<It's> blank. Cody and me are like the real yin and yang. Shit, you never know what you might get on what side of the town. Yeah,
you ain't lying. You never lie.
Yeah. Except that shit ain't black and white. That shit blue and red for fire and ice.
Yes. It's a Pokemon shit.
Yeah. I think that game coming out next year, actually. Yeah. Fire and ice. Yeah.
Yeah.
That game probably already came out. Yeah. It is the month of June. It is my birthday month. It is that time of the month or whatever.
Oh, shit.
So you know the shitty stuff is about to start dropping out this Friday.
You already know.
Me and Cody kind of talked about one of the things already. So they releasing a Transformers movie, and they got my boy Nas. They got my boy Nas doing the soundtrack, doing a little piece of the song on the soundtrack here. They ain't got no goddamn Michael Bay, though. What kind of disrespect is this? Nope. Very disrespectful.
Don't understand.
You don't understand.
This man... This man put Transformers back on the map, mm-hmm. And you mean to tell me Nas is on the table, and you don't combine those two forces? You talk about missed opportunity. Holy shit. That's as big as it gets.
Not only that, Cody, they got apes and shit like that in this one, too, so it's like...
Yes! The animals.
I do love it, Cody, because these motherfuckers, like, we in hiding. Nigga, you don't look like no damn road. Like, you don't look like animals.
You a 50-foot metal gorilla. What the hell are you hiding from?
What the fuck are you hiding from? What is he just blending in with the other gorillas, Cody? And, like, and the motherfucker just, like, looking at him like, that's an awkward gorilla, mate. Like, I heard that. I just went like,
and
damn.
I really hope they don't try to explain that shit in the movie. Because any explanation they come up with is going to be dumb as fuck. There's just no way. Know how you have Beast Wars and you're gonna make that shit plausible.
The only person that can make this plausible is Michael Bay.
That's true. He makes it plausible by making it implausible as fuck.
Yes.
That's how he makes it plausible. Yes. That's
Cody, he adds on to the lore of the lore of the lore.
Mm-hmm.
You never get answers.
Exactly.
You get more questions.
Mm-hmm. And you want more questions too. You don't want answers to those questions. You want to be kept in the dark. You're like, you want that sense of a mystery. Like, you don't want to know shit. Like, why would you want to know that? That takes all the fun away.
I just don't understand why they got the GOAT MC. Why wouldn't they get the GOAT director? I mean, what?
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Like you just said, missed opportunity right here. Shit. I mean, could you imagine Michael Bay writing Optimus Prime coming in with that sword, just murdering motherfuckers left and right, while Nas is in the background rapping to it, whatever shit? You'd shed a tear, Cody. You'd be like,
oh yeah, yeah. I'd be happy as a pig and shit. I could die happy.
Fucking Ryan Reynolds Deadpool would watch that and go like, damn, I'm not making no more Deadpool movies after that.
Yeah.
I can't carry a sword no more. Because they use swords in any kind of movie now? They would retire them. They like no more swords or whatever. Like, I can't even pick up a sword now. The Kung Fu movies and shit, they look at that and go like, we're using sticks going for it now? no more swords. We'll put a dagger at the end of it or whatever and just call it a new weapon because Optimus just murdered that. Would Nas rapping, instead of that Linkin Park song or the Imagine Dragon song when Optimus comes in, you have a Nas song in the background? That's, Cody, that's what we call goatified. Goatified.
Exactly. Exactly. Cemented. Legacy forever.
So, just because they didn't get Bay and Nas together, I'm boycotting this. Well, I'm just putting that out there right now.
Rightfully so. Do not watch Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, whatever the fuck it's called.
Just, I'm going to hold a picket sign, Cody. I'm going to get on that march line. We want Bay.
Yeah. They got that writer's strike going on. We don't have a strike of our own. There's only two motherfuckers over there. Paramount Studio. We want Bay. We want Bay.
Meanwhile, I'm over at Michael Bay in Miami right now, snorting coke. He rides. Shit, somebody say my name? Shit. Yeah, we said your name, Bay. Yeah. I might even do some work.
Yes. Hey. Me Bay for, you, the Bay chosen one. Bay.
BAE for BAY. Bay for
Bay. For Bay. I love that.
Bay for Bay. Yeah. I'll do some wordplay for you, Cody. Like,
oh, yeah. That's a t-shirt right there. That's a t-shirt.
For Bay. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. And then I'll have like Nas and Michael Bay on the back of the shirt, like in silhouette forms or whatever, standing side by side together. Like, mm-hmm. like you never thought the duo you needed, but the duo you want, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm just putting that out there. Make things right, Paramount. Shit, you fucking up already. Anyway, I got one thing to talk about, but I'll talk about that after I talk about my hip hop artist of choice of the month the month. I'll get that
sounds
out of the
good.
Way. First.
Sounds good.
I'll keep the liquor all together. Fuck that. I can't hold on to this liquor story.
I was going to say, man, the little tease you gave me was too good.
I had a drink last night, or yesterday, I should say, and it tastes like shit. It might have been the worst drink I think I've had all year. Actually, it might be the worst drink I probably had in the past decade. I just want to read off the ingredients of this drink. So my car was getting worked on, you know, just... I just had some simple shit to do or whatever. So it wasn't like oil change, whatever, just a little shit and stuff like that. And I didn't book an appointment for this. So I took it to the dealer and they just said, it'd probably be like 2 hours. I mean, it ain't that much to do, but like, he ain't got an appointment. We got some other cars here. I looked around this dealership. I said, ain't nobody up in this motherfucker but me. But I was like, whatever. I got free time today and I don't mind going to go grab a bite to eat some lunch or stuff like that, get some drinks or whatever. There's a sidecar donut shop right there. I love me some sidecar donuts. That's a California specialty. Well, SoCal specialty. They're not in Northern California. So that's a Southern California specialty right there. Some sidecar donuts, whatever, people. Treat yourself. Don't cheat yourself. And I go to this restaurant. I sit at the bar. This motherfucker empty as hell. This is how I knew it was early in the morning. It was probably about like 11:30 a.m. And I could tell it was early in the morning because we're watching on the TVs in the sports bar, the NCAA Men's Baseball League of college. And I just went and looked at that and said, who the fuck watches this shit?
that's an appropriate response right there.
I stared at the TV for a moment. I said, this is the type of shit that make women leave men. Like that, watch this shit. First of all, when I thought it was grown men, Cody, which it is grown men because they're over 18. I got to tell you, baseball players look like some of the worst looking athletes I've ever seen nowadays. How the fuck, Cody, before I get in my rant here, I got to get on this rant first. These motherfuckers had the audacity to put on that screen college athletes. I said, that motherfucker looks 40. What are you talking about, college athlete? Looked horrible. I was just like, they just don't. They just didn't give a fuck, I guess. I mean, I was looking at them like, damn.
That's a great tie-in to the kid notion we had going earlier.
Yeah.
Dumbass robbing the fucking store.
These damn show didn't look like no kids. These all look like old same men. Thing. I actually thought, Cody, I'm not bullshitting you. I actually thought that this wasn't college games we was watching. I thought it was literally the minor leagues. I thought we was like legit watching the minor. I was like, oh, they air the minor leagues on TV now. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I didn't know that or whatever. And then I look at it and go like, no, that's a college. Oh. And then they show you the dudes that's in the bullpen and shit sitting there and they looking. I'm like, there ain't a single motherfucker on this roster that look like they in college. It looked like they literally picked the dads out the stands to come play ball. They looked horrible.
Yeah, you know what's so funny, man? Well, you're explaining that shit about how you saw the minor leagues. The frame on your screen froze a little bit. You had the most confused look on your fucking face. I should have screen kept that shit. It was perfect. You had the Doc Rivers thing going on. So he was like, you look a touch angrier.
The Doc Rivers still set. The Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the lead up into this. Now, let me look up this drink that I ordered. As people know, I kind of hate whiskey cocktails because I think they taste like shit. And mainly just because I don't think – I actually think they might be the most complicated drinks ever to make, to be honest, now that I really think about it. Because you either put way too much sugar in it, way too much alcohol, not enough alcohol, or not enough sugar. There's never a perfect balance of the shit or whatever I've noticed. And recently I've been trying more whiskey to give it a chance because everybody says they're so fucking great. And I'm still waiting for this greatness out of it. And I've had some decent ones recently. You know, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's perfectly good. This one's good. It's actually a really good one in West L.A. That guy makes it actually because he adds his own little twist to it by adding his own little flavors and stuff like that. So I think that's just the way to go. Stop using the same fucking ingredients for like old fashions and shit because for me, the shit doesn't work. Everybody else seemed to like them. I don't know why. So I just said, you know what? Let me get this drink called Bullet to the Beach, Cody.
Funny Bullet enough, to the Beach.
The girl's name, I'm already blanking on her name. I still got the receipt sitting over there. I should look it up or whatever. But she tells me, and I was like, ooh, that sounds Hawaiian. And she was just like, it is. And I said, are you Hawaiian? She was like, I'm not. I was like, yeah, because you're about to say you look Hawaiian or whatever. And we got to chit-chat and talking and stuff like that. And then she was smiling her head off or whatever. I ain't gonna lie, I was too, whatever. She was cute. And I was like, you know what? Got a Hawaiian name. I see some flowers and shit now. Let me get this drink right here. Bullet to the Beach. I was like, ooh, because I'm feeling tropical now. Cody, you saw the photo of this drink.
I did.
Looks very pretty, right? It don't taste pretty. It tastes like fucking water and vinegar.
Looks can be deceiving.
Yeah. So Bullet to the Beach consists of these things, people. Bullet bourbon infused with orange spice, black cherries, sugar, orange zest, and bitters. I got to tell you, when I read that, that actually didn't even sound that good, neither. Because when I looked at the man, I just went like, orange spice and bullet bourbon? I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. And then I was like, along with some sugar on that too as well, and a black cherry? I wish I would have read that before I ordered the drink. See, this is why you don't look at just names of the fucking drink. Because I looked at that and went like, would I ever do an orange spice with a black cherry? That don't even sound like that go together, Cody. Would you mix the
two? I mean, orange spice, black cherry. I mean, you have to be a very skilled, you know, cocktail enthusiast, you know, to do something like that, to make that work in my head, just given those ingredients you just listed. I mean, I wouldn't say it's impossible. Is it highly likely? No. Fuck no. But I go say it's possible. I mean, yeah, like I said, you have to be highly skilled. Like, you have to be top of your game. You have to be like a legend in the game to make that shit work. But yeah, so, those two things on top of my head, they don't seem like they should work together.
So not only that, Cody, the black cherries are at the bottom of the fucking glass. You can't even get the motherfuckers out. They buried underneath the ice. I was like, yeah, that's already annoying me right there. So I was like, this looks beautiful. I take a sip of this bad boy. I went. What's fucked up about it, though, is I could tell the lady that was sitting down in the bar, she looked like a regular and shit. She just being nosy. Looking around and shit. She's staring at me the whole fucking time and shit. And I kind of wanted to, what the fuck are you looking at? Shit, this drink tastes like shit. Yes, it tastes like shit. Yes, okay. Shit. But my humane side said, JB, now this is not the time nor place. Don't do this, JB. So this shit just tastes horrible. First of all, it was watered down like a motherfucker. Like, and it's crazy because when you look at the color on this drink, it don't even look watered down. I mean, Cody, you didn't taste any of this shit in here. You know, you don't taste any orange zest. You don't taste no orange spice. You damn sure didn't taste no black cherry or whatever. You didn't even taste the bullet.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, you literally didn't taste
shit. How does that even, what? Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I did taste though, Cody? Water and bitters.
Water? Oh no. That sounds awful.
Ooh boy. That shit was so bad, Cody, that I think the backside on my right side of my tongue, that shit went numb. It just said, nah, we ain't even gonna try to taste this shit, yo. Like, that shit went down. And the fucked up part about it is the girl, bless her heart, I don't know. She looked like she could have been like 27, 28 years old, somewhere around my age too as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that she looked like older. She looked really good, but like more mature. She's sitting there trying to have a conversation with me. I just said, can I get a burger and fries too? Can you put bacon on that, extra sauce? Because I want that sauce to like drown that fucking drink. Add some kind of fucking flavor to it or whatever and stuff. It did none of that, Cody, by the way. And she's like trying to talk and stuff, and we're talking, having a good time, whatever and stuff. I actually, the one time I think I actually was not oblivious to flirting with me or whatever and shit, to the point that every time she asked me, Cody, how was your drink or whatever, I just said, so you got Miami or the Denver Nuggets in the game here, whatever and stuff. That was the first time she asked me. The second time I was just like, so how long you been working here? I have cut that communication off every time she asked, how was your drink, whatever, so completely off that I was like, I ain't answering this question. I don't want to be that guy and tell you that this drink tastes like shit. So, there was the third time, Cody, you're going to laugh at this part. It is so out there because I couldn't think of anything else to say or whatever and shit. Because I was there for like an hour at least eating and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl said, so do you want another one? Did you like your drink, whatever and stuff? I said, oh, I'm sorry. I just got my AA meeting or whatever and shit. And like, we're only allowed to have one drink a year and stuff. And this was it for me. So thank you so much. I got to go now. Can I get the check, please?
Jesus.
She looked so perplexed, Cody, like, oh, AA? I was like, yeah, it's that Alcohol Anonymous. Like, you know, we try to get off drinking. I hope this girl does not look me up, because if she finds out the last try, this motherfucker drinks weekly.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, wait a minute. Whatever. That guy looks familiar. You should have seen the look on my face when I said I just got out of an AA meeting. Oh, I look like Miles Morales in Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, the first movie, when that motherfucker ran into that security guard in school and he said, the security guard said, Morales. And he was like, play dumb. And he said, who's Morales? And then in his head, not that dumb. That was me in that section or whatever. It was like, oh shit, JB, would you like another drink or whatever and shit? Like, play dumb. I just got out of an AA meeting. Not that dumb. That's how that felt. And I don't know if she was just like so heavy into the flirting that she just overlooked it, but she looked like she bought that shit too. She was just like, that is a strong commitment to make, whatever, to recognize that you ever. And I just like looked at her and I was just like, I will never come back to this part of the area of town ever again. I will be vanishing. I will be ghosting.
Complete ghost.
I will not be shopping at that Nike store that's there. I will not be going back to that sidecar donut. I was like, yep, I'm done. But yeah, it was one of the worst drinks I've had this year. I got to tell you, for a cocktail too, we've been making cocktails on the show. It's probably one of the worst cocktails I've had in ever. It was pretty bad.
I mean, yeah, from what you described, man, yeah, that sounds water and bitters. How does that serve anybody? And I'm just curious, like, how do all those other ingredients get lost?
That's the thing,
like,
too.
You have a cocktail that tastes like shit, but I don't understand that. That's what's so perplexing to me.
And you know, the fucked up part about it is I kind of side-eyed watched her made it too. And I never once saw her go to that watering machine to put water in it. So I don't know if she's just a bad mixologist or that drink just does not work at all.
I think it comes down to she got to be a bad mixologist. And there ain't no fucking way you can make at least something out of it. And that'd be great or even good. But if you put all that shit in there and you tell me you come out with this water and fucking bitters, something seriously wrong. Like, I don't know how it went wrong. Something seriously fucked up. Like, I don't know if her hands and some shit. I don't know if she got the Dr. Strange shit going on after she got to that car accident. I don't know.
She was going to say that she got the Scary Movie 2 thing going on with that guy with the
pump shit. That too, yeah.
Yeah, because that one, I mean, that shit actually might have flavor because that dude used to dip his hands in the shit or whatever and stuff. Be like, say, yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
Which, by the way, is one of the most fucked up scenes in all of comedy movies in general or whatever when that motherfucker and him, the dude with no legs.
It really was.
The dude with the no legs was clowning each other to fucking just roast each other for fucking 5 minutes straight and shit.
Yeah, that's not a good movie, man, but when they roast the fuck out of shit, hilarious.
Like, you know, that had to have been off the script too because all the other characters looked complex. Like, they were just in awkward positions. Like, they didn't know what to say. Like, these two dudes really were crippled and they were just like in the background, like, yo, we don't really want to get in the middle of this. Like, you know, so, so shout out to them. I know what you like. How about a leg? How about two? How about a standing ovation? It's just like, Jesus Christ. I feel like that would be me and Cody, actually, if we were crippled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Shots fired all day. No fuck dinner. Oh, yeah, you already know.
I'd be, if he was the hand dude, I'd be like, that's funny that you have that drink, Cody. I mean, did you need a hand to help you with that? Like, you know, so, I mean... And somebody on Instagram will get offended and be like, oh, I see y'all two friends. Oh, y'all your friends, huh? So yeah, I can do that. Yeah, that's how that would work out, sir. Yes.
Yes, yeah, sir. Work. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Inspector Gadget. Appreciate your input.
I think there's like a hand and leg convention we can go to together and shit, you know?
It's like a hand.
Gotta be, right?
Or hands and legs live together in harmony.
Yeah. We'll play that song, Sweet Harmony.
Sweet Harmony.
So, don't go to this spot in Torrance, people. I don't even remember the fucking name of it. So, I just know it's by the Lexus and Toyota dealership. So, yeah, don't go there. By that Nike, it's by that Hills area.
Stay far away.
Yeah, that place is shit.
Stay far the fuck away.
That shit can use some.
You don't want to go over there. Don't do it.
No, that shit.
Don't do it. Your liver deserves better.
You know what's crazy to me is when you go to these type of restaurants and stuff like that, and they got like all these other like spirits. Like, they don't have shit on their shelf, but they got the spirits to make cocktails. It's like, damn, y'all can't even get like a regular ass bottle of like Don Julio or like, you know, Casa Azul or like, you know, Buffalo Trace or Elijah Craig. I mean, y'all can't even get that type of shit. We still with the Jack Daniels and Jameson and no offense to Bullet Bourbon, because Bourbon can be good sometimes for the right occasion. With Bullet Bourbon, damn, yo, like, it's like going to a dark age, the dark ages and shit, Cody. Staring at the screen like, where am I? What time capsule did I
walk? Right? What is going on?
Yeah, what in the name of mother and love of Batman is happening right now? Holy capsicle, Batman. I mean, you start speaking fucking 1980s Batman on them and shit like that. Like, G Willikers, Batman. What is going on here?
Holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel. This place is fucked. Oh, man. So, let's talk about my hip-hop artist, my MC, celebrating 50 years of hip-hop here, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this has been golden. Did you know, Cody, that LL Cool J's got a new album coming out?
I did not know that. Nice.
I literally saw a post about that a week ago, maybe, and he's going to have collaborations on there from like Nas. I think he said Rakim on there too, as well. Or whatever. Like he's got like a few hits on there as far as like artists go and stuff. Let me see if I can pull this up. Whatever, Uncle L, man, come on. I mean, you can't never go wrong with an Uncle L album right there. I mean, that LL Cool J is like the epitome of well, shit, it's in the name. It's fucking Cool J. So I mean, the coolest motherfucker out there. Shit, he can lick his lips at me any fucking time of the week. I'd be like, yeah. When was the last time LL had an album out, by the way, too? Now that I even think about it, like,
I don't even remember, man. It's been a while.
It's been a long time. I know. Oh, yeah. Busta Rhymes got a new album coming out, too, as well. He's got Pharrell on there as well. So I guess everybody's trying to get on this 50 years of hip hop thing that me and Cody started here on The Last Drop. You know, everybody's going to come out with an album now. So. Busta Rhymes and Pharrell, LL Cool J, new album. Let's see. His last album, Cody, was Authentic in 2013.
Oh, shit, 10 years. Long time.
Damn, I thought it was longer than that. I thought Authentic
came out. I thought it was longer than that, too, actually. Not going to lie to you.
Because I remember The Definition, that came out 04. So I was thinking
like, oh, yeah, I remember that one, yep.
I'm thinking like I thought this album came out in 08, 07, somewhere around there. So here's what's gonna be on LL Cool J's new album. Oh damn, it only gave me two. He's got Eminem, he's got Nas, he's got Fat Joe. Where the fuck is the rest? Da-da-da. Okay, well, I don't feel like going. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, he's got a Tribe Called Quest Q-Tip on the on a track too as well. I want to know who's producing it. Yeah, he's got Q-Tip, Nas. There's rumors of Pete Rock possibly being on it. Q-Tip is apparently producing that track. Oh, Elsa Nell coming around tour with the Roots. He says possibly the Roots and DJ Jazzy Jeff also will be on there as well too.
Oh shit, okay. Well damn.
This sounds like a heavy hitter album right here, Cody. For if you're a hip hop head at least.
I was shit, you telling me.
Yeah. So I look forward to purchasing that album when that comes out. But either way, actually not purchasing, actually just pressing add to library. Because I don't need to purchase albums no more. Apple Music just adds to library. So, my hip-hop artist with no further hesitation on this, whatever, is some people would consider this man, it's actually a duo, but some people would consider the man in this group, whatever, and shit, the godfather of hip-hop, whatever. I mean, I shouldn't say hip-hop, though. I would say the godfather of the hip-hop that me and Cody like of today. You know, your, well, I'll say the names, whatever. So I'm talking about Rakim, but also, I'm not just doing Rakim, I'm doing Eric B. and Rakim, because I feel like Rakim had his own separate career, and Eric B. and Rakim had their thing as well, too, as well. And funny enough, I saw Eric B. and Rakim in concert when they went back on tour. They got back together in 2017, and it was at the Apollo Theater in New York of December 2017, and they fucking killed it. That was a great damn show. I remember that concert like it was yesterday and shit, and I was like fucking in love with it. I was like transported back to the late 80s, early 90s of that golden era of hip hop. And when you talk about that golden era of hip hop, Eric B. and Rakim was at the top of the level of that hip hop level right there. They were popular as shit. Some, if I'm not mistaken, critics back then say they were probably the best collaboration duo ever between an MC and a DJ. And I miss those days back in the day when like you considered your DJ Cody part of your group. Like that was the it right there. Like there was no like Salt and Pepper with Spinderella. I mean, they would do it and stuff too. Like that era of hip hop was just so different today. I mean, they had four albums come out, which was Paid in Full, Follow the Leader, Let the Rhythm Hit Him, and Don't Sweat the Technique. Don't Sweat the Technique was probably their most commercialized album, if you will. It was in two movies. It was in Juice and House Party. And both fit very fucking well, too, as well. Yep. So I mean, that's a great track for House Party too, by the way, people. Like, if you seen that scene or that movie, go back and watch that. a little bit about their career. They started like in the early mid-1980s to late 1980s, if you will. They worked with almost like everybody. I mean, their first album, Paid in Full, that album, Cody, was literally done in 1 week. One fucking
That's insane.
One week.
Paid in Full. I did not know that.
Paid in full, done in 1 week, people. I want to let that play.
That's insane.
When we talk about GOAT albums, and we've talked about a few on this show as well, too. We've talked of the Illmatics, the EPMDs or whatever and stuff like that. You know, when we talk about GOAT albums, Paid in Full, people, it's probably one of those like, yeah, if you don't like this album, you just don't like music then. And it is like the personification of like the perfect collaboration of MCing and DJing too. Like it is like that fucking good, people. I'm not even like speaking hyperbole either as well. Like this album was like really good. When you got tracks on there, like Paid in Full Itself, the self-titled, As the Rhythm Goes On, I Ain't No Joke, Eric B is President, Chinese Arithmetic, I Know You Got Soul, Move the Crowd. I mean, Eric B's on the cut. I mean, come on. I ain't no joke. Come on now. This was the first track, too. Every show you see me in deep concentration, cause I'm no comedian. Jokers are wild, if you want to contain. I treat you like a child, then you're gonna be named. Man, Rakim, what was so good about his voice, too, is he had that deep, mellow voice, whatever. So it felt so different from what A Tribe Called Quest was doing too, because like A Tribe Called Quest kind of had that same background melody as well, where they talked about where they had the neo soul with the funk kind of popish vibes or whatever, with the jazz tunes in the play in the background. But they also had that like that clean, soft voice in too. And Rakim has like that deep, rugged voice too, whatever. So it really did feel like more of this like kind of hardcore collaboration of lyrics and rhymes. With the pop, jazz, neo-soul tones in the background as well. And it was like one of the first times you heard the two collab and you just went like, holy shit, like this just opens up like a whole new genre of how you can mesh hip-hop and other genres of music beats and together and stuff. And Rakim, I mean, like I said, he was the godfather of what we consider kind of today's of my growing up hip hop. I'm talking about your Nas's, your AZ's, you can even say Jay-Z's too, at that matter, whatever, your Jay-Z's, your EPMD's. I mean, your Killer Mike's. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on and whatever and shit. Like Rakim was like literally the foundation of that blueprint to fit those artists in. Shit, even your KRS-One's in some points or another as well too. Some even say like, you know, probably is the greatest artist of all time. Probably one of the most underrated artists of all time too, because he's heavily forgotten, obviously, because he only had about three solo albums. And then you talk about the four albums he did with Eric B. Eric B was just a master at it too. One of the best DJs working at the time and stuff when they got together. I remember he was originally going to be working with someone else, and then Rakim came on and like they just like vibed really well. Rakim was one of those dudes that like he wrote his songs in the fucking studio and he'd go and perform them. And that's when they would do the tweak. They wrote Paid in Full in a week. And I remember he did an interview. It was like why the songs were so short as far as like lyrical wise and stuff is because he was like, I literally just wrote that in a week. And like, I was like wanting to show the masterclass of Eric B on the track and stuff. And you can tell too, because a lot of the songs on all the albums, mainly all kind of all named after Eric B himself and shit, you know, Eric B on the cut, Eric B is President and stuff like that, you know? So this is back when hip hop artists had respect for DJs back then too, as well. I don't think they have any respect for them nowadays. Cause there's something about that table scratching, Cody.
Not really.
No, not at all. Something about that table scratching, Cody, that just like adds a different element to hip hop itself, whatever. And when you hear that, you just go like, oh, fills the soul up just right. I'm talking like, excuse me. I was talking about like, and we got another New York artist on our hands here from Long Island. If I'm not mistaken, they started residing in Queens for a little bit, but they were Long Island natives, if you will. And man, that's what, my number four now? My number four on my list, Eric B. and Rakim. So I went from a solo artist to a female artist to a group, now to a DJ / MC combination here. And I think Eric B. and Rakim, some people consider them the greatest duo of all time, especially back in their time. And I wouldn't argue with them on that as well, too. Not only that, too, if I'm not mistaken, Paid in Full was not the only, like, legit hit, too, because their sequel, I guess, yeah, sequel album that came out after that, whatever, which was Follow the Leader. Fucking great album. Follow the Leader. I mean, with Microphone Fiend. Funny enough, all their albums always start off with their top hits too, whatever and shit. It starts off with Follow the Leader, but Microphone Fiend comes in. That shit was, dude, when I heard that, oh man, Microphone Fiend was my shit right there. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug, then I jet, and I back to the lab without a mic to grab. So then I add all the rhymes I had, one after the other one. Then I make another one, another to diss the opposite, then ask if the brother's done. I get a craving like I fiend for nicotine, but I don't need a cigarette. Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Creeping up the stage. You know what's crazy too is when you listen to these tracks, I don't even think Rakim swears in these songs neither.
Man, that is a great point. I didn't think about that. He doesn't.
He doesn't swear. There's like no.
That's crazy.
Like in all the Eric B. Rakim songs that I know of, whatever and shit, like there's like no swearing. It is just straight like lyrics. There's barely, there's no hooks in them neither, usually. There's no, it's just Rakim literally just flowing. And then sometimes there's a break in the middle where Eric B is just cutting tracks or whatever and stuff like that. I love the album cover too, because it looked like me and Cody staring at this shitty ass weather that we have in Southern California, by the way. This is just sitting on. You remember that album cover, Cody?
Yeah. I do.
Just Cody with that Kangol hat on too. me at the corner of my eye looking at him like, hey, bro, you ain't gonna take that hat off? It's 2023, dude. So, but yeah, Microphone Fiend, man, that was my shit right there. I remember I used to have that shit in like eighth grade, ninth grade. I had that shit on loop. I would walk to school playing that song over and over. And Let the Rhythm hit them, I think was their how do I say, least, I don't want to say popular, but least fan favorite album, if you will, whatever. And I was like crazy on that because I thought Let the Rhythm Hit Him, man, that had some great fucking tracks on there as well too. Like obviously the first track on there, Let the Rhythm Hit Him himself and stuff. Man, oh, and there Eric B's about to, you can hear him in the background cutting it up and stuff, and he's just like, damn. Yeah, every time I listen to him, I don't think I've ever heard a swear word out of none of these tracks, now that I think about it. Like, there was like no N-bombs, no swear words. It was like really like conscious hip hop, whatever. And Rakim, he says in an interview too, you know, he believes he was one of the first to ever come out and be like, you know, talking about the communities and stuff like that and putting conscious rap on that. And I don't disagree with him on that at all, that whatever, because he was one of the most famous mainstream artists at the time doing that as well and doing it in such a positive light. It's crazy too, because when you look at Rakim's solo career, oh, he's straight up is like, you know, cussing and stuff like that. His solo career, he's got some great fucking tracks in his solo career alone, too. I mean, he only had four albums. Two of them came out in like the late 90s, kind of. I think it was like 97, 98. And then the next one literally was like 2010. I remember that one was what the fuck was that album called? Well, obviously, the last album between Eric B. and Rakim was Don't Sweat the Technique. And I mean, and that song and that. Yo, Eric B killed this one, though. Bong 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 bong. Is that not one of the greatest, like, just samples of all time?
That production is fucking stupid good. Stupid good. It doesn't make sense.
No, and what's crazy too is like it's got that jazzy soul, but it ain't like. Just Rakim rapping bullshit neither. Like if you listen to lyrics, you're like, oh shit, like you can rap like real conscious hip hop and stuff, and still have like that funky beat in the background that just like elevates it even more. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, like this.
I gotta tell you, man,
lost talent.
I'm not a dance man, but every time I hear that fucking track, I was gonna start breakdancing. Mm-hmm. Nice. Hang on, want to do the track soon? My gold chain.
That track.
I'm gonna start breakdancing.
That track is a personification of the 80s, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it really is. It really is.
That is the movement of the 80s right there.
Mm-hmm.
Can we? Is that Eric B's most? His one of his best tracks ever. Like as far as like sampling.
It might be my favorite of his. I think I'm gonna go out and say it's my favorite at least.
I'll say it's my favorite too. But like, it's a lot going on in that track though, right? Like,
it's very complex. That's what makes it so great.
Yeah, like
exactly.
It is a lot going on, and the fact that Rakim of all people is like keeping up with it and rapping on it on a level where you just and you can understand what he's saying. The flow is just sweet. I mean, the flow is. It really is. Just don't sweat his technique. Like, that is like, mm-hmm. Whew, man, it's clean, dude.
God damn, that song is fucking great. Jesus Christ. Lord.
That right there, my friend, is what we call a lost art.
Woo! That's hey, my friend, that is hip hop, sir. Jesus. Quintessential hip hop.
You know what I love about us doing this? I listen to these albums regularly, and sometimes I just like listen to tracks on whatever. I straight up listened to that whole Mos Def album after you did it or whatever and shit. I was like, I love finding these artists that we listen to, whatever, just going back and playing the whole album. And then you start to realize, Cody, there is not a fucking skippable track on these damn albums right now. I was like, Jesus, these were fucking gems. Like, man. And then you look at today's album, and you're like, God damn, what happened to this? I was like, what the hell happened here? I don't think there's been no other form of media. And I hear people talk this shit all the time. Oh, movies aren't as great as they used to be. Comic books aren't what they used to be. This is bad. This is trash now. I'm going to tell you this right now. That shit is gold compared to what has happened to hip hop over the years. Like that shit has like,
mm-hmm.
That is the most butchered form of entertainment slash art that has, if you could even say this, evolved over the time frames, whatever. Like it is no, like at least with like movies, you can be like, oh, they use too much CGI. It was like, well, they're doing way more different shit than like, you can make some kind of excuses for something of the newer technology that's incorporated in storytelling and stuff like that. I can't give no argument to why new hip hop today sounds like shit.
No. Nope. None. Zero.
I can't argue it at all, Cody. Like it's just like, no, it's just shit now, you know. And the fucked up part about it is it's more highly profiled today. It literally sounds like it literally sounds like the music and what everybody claimed the 80s hip hop sound like.
Mm-hmm.
Devil music shit, rotten kids' brains and stuff like that. Like today, that's what it sounds like now. But today it's more glorified or whatever. And you look at it and just go like, I can't believe my dick is as big as the Eiffel Tower is greater than my man over here not sweating. Yeah. Like, what? I was like, all right, you know, or my man, Mr. Hotline Bling. That ain't considered like rotten in kids' brains or devil music or ruining whatever the hell it may be. But Wu-Tang's Cream, yeah, that's gonna create so much violence in the community. Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Times really have changed, Cody. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
yeah.
Learn.
Yeah, turn to shit. So, like, I always say, like, I would never go back in time. I love life today. I think hip hop is the only fragment of thing that I would love to go back in time on or whatever is hip hop. I truly fucking miss. I can't get that beat out of my fucking head now, Cody. You know, it is probably one of my favorite Eric B. Mm-hmm. It is my favorite. Like that.
Yeah.
It's just so complex.
It might be my favorite.
It's so complex and so good. I mean, it's damn near perfect, Cody. So
I would say it is perfect.
Yeah. That was only a sample of it too, people.
Yeah.
I mean, House Party, they swept up on that perfectly too, because that was a great fucking scene for that song to kick into. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. man. House Party with people was like basically Cody and me living out our hip hop fantasy in the 80s and stuff.
basically. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Basically, House Party is me and Cody. Yeah, we really are kidding, play. I don't know if you knew that. Two corny ass dudes from shit. LA. That was us.
Yeah, that's wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, me and Cody was kidding, play in high school. Now, who was who and who was who? That shit rotates sometimes. So.
I was gonna say, sometimes I'm kid, sometimes I play, sometimes you kid, sometimes you play. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, just switch it off. We definitely got that dynamic though. That's for sure.
We're gonna dress like that for Halloween, people. So yeah. I totally can see Cody with that haircut though. Back in the day,
I can see that.
If Cody was in the '80s, born in the '80s, yeah, I could totally see it. And the me with the outfit with the green and red yellow outfit, yeah, I could totally see me wearing that shit or whatever. Like, yeah, back then. So, I'm wearing green and yellow right now. God damn, that track is so good. Oh, well, we got to move on now. I didn't talk long enough about that now. So, that is my number four. We will tune in next week to hear Cody's list there of or number four track there or artist. So Cody, so this month I'm doing something special. It's my birthday month or whatever and stuff.
It is your birthday month.
And I couldn't decide on what to really talk about this month. And I said, I want to do a little bit of everything here. And so this month is going to encapsulate my favorite distilleries. So I'm just going to do weekly my favorite distilleries that I fucks with. You know, they're my all-time favorites, like favorite pours from them, whatever it may be. And this week, obviously this week is I got to talk about them goddamn butterfly people, Cody. Got to talk about
that run. I should have known.
That is one should've of my favorite damn distilleries right there, people. And like, I bought two of their Mother Day bottles that they had. I tried Liana on the show here, which is Mike's wife's name. So that bottle is inspired by her. So this week I decided to open up this bottle right here, Sean. You can't see the pink butterfly or whatever.
Okay, there we go. Whatever
the stuff. It's another one of these with that beautiful case and that beautiful right there. That case is so beautiful.
Look at that. Look at that.
That is like perfection right there. So, I gotta have a butterfly glass with that, baby. Got to have a butterfly. Dude, we butterflying it up today. So, everybody knows that the butterfly stands for the evolution of whiskey. That was like my first question I had to ask Mike when I first got to talk to him. Why the butterfly? And he gave me a beautiful answer. Well, it represents the evolution of what whiskey has turned into. And I was like, oh my God, that was so beautiful. I could kiss you right now. But look at that color right there, Cody. Man.
That's a gorgeous color. Gorgeous color.
That is. Oh. So this was barrel number four, a.k.a. Sean. And what had got me to get this one is it had butterscotch notes on it. And I love anything with butterscotch notes on it. Butterscotch or cherries. Those are my two go-to. So I had Liana on here. And I don't remember what was the – I think the reason why I got that one is because it had the cherry notes, but it also had, like, notes of, like cone and stuff like that. It looked just very unique, and I was just like, "Oh, I want that one." I didn't know at the time that was Mike, the owner of Blue Run. I didn't know that was his wife's name, and only to find out later was like, "Oh shit!" Now his wife got taste in. So his wife got a very unique, interesting taste here. And Sean, I just grabbed because of the butterscotch note. Right now, they're doing their Father's Day releases. It's been 5 days. They're releasing two barrel picks where they let people in the community pick these barrels and whatever and stuff. I was able to get one day before yesterday. I got that one. And instead of the pink and beige box, these are black and gold, kind of a black. And they're a double oak single barrels, too. And they let like 10 people or podcasts, or not really podcasts, but it was like one podcast, and pick theirs and whatever. And I got one. I was able to get barrel number 4. I might get another one. These cases and stuff like that for these special ones releases, they run for about $200 with tax and stuff, come up to $216. I might get another one just to have two different barrels from that lineup there as well. This smells fucking heavenly, though, I gotta tell you. This smells really damn good. Jesus Christ. It's got that mahogany color, that dark mahogany right there.
I love that color, man.
Color is just beautiful. It's insane, but the smell is even fucking better right now. Oh my God. It's like you can smell the proof too, but the proof doesn't like halt it. Like it like blends in with the rest of the flavor notes and stuff. And we're looking at a proof of 117.9, 58.59. This is the Emerald Single Barrel Rye. This is the foundation of the Emerald itself, which is this bottle right here, which is the green one. And they did these Mother Day releases based off of it as well, which is the Emerald Single Barrel. And this smells fucking great, actually. It smells a lot of like smokiness to it, too. Dark chocolate. Obviously, it's got some spices on there, baking spices to be exact. Oh, man, that smells heavenly. Dark ripe fruits, too. Also with a roasted apple nose. I'm just going to sip. Ooh. Ooh. That's got heat to it. I got a positive note to say this, too. My mother, who doesn't even drink whiskey, she's been drinking on some of this. She's been drinking the Liam.
Okay.
She says that shit is good. She's like, damn, it's so clean and smooth and
nice.
So I'm going to have to pour her some of this one right here, see what she thinks about this one. This one feels a little bit more warmer in the finish of the throat here, but it just settles down and calms you. Oh, you could even feel it in your chest now, too. That's what I love about Blue Run. It's something about their what I think that makes them one of the great whiskeys out there. Is their stuff is always just so perfectly balanced. It gives me everything I'm looking for. It has that heat, but it knows when to settle down, take the flavors, and then it gets calm and cool, but it knows how to linger on the finish and stuff like that. Okay, I was going to say, I don't taste the butterscotch, but I tasted it there. The butterscotch is like on the palate area. There's something there, though, when you hold it in the palate area, you just hold it before you swallow. There's a note there that I can't pinpoint what that is, actually. I actually don't know what that note is. Ooh. Okay, that's like smoky wood embers and shit. Sitting at a campfire, Cody, roasting marshmallows and graham crackers and making s'mores, basically. That's what that is right there.
Shit.
Ooh, this
tell me more, please.
This is a great winter drink. Great winter drink right here. Okay. Oh, that's toffee. It's like some chocolate. That's where the dark chocolate is. Okay. But it's blending in with the butterscotch right there. The finish, nice and long. Nice and long. It ain't medium at all, whatever. It basically stops with the heat right there. Right there. And then it just slides down. Very creamy and oily in the finish there. Slides right down smooth, but it sticks right there in the chest area. You could feel a little bit of the sensation in your stomach or whatever, but mainly it's all in the chest area.
And then you get a little bacon spices on the left side. At least I am on my left side of my throat right there. Mm. Damn, this is good. Oh, this is really good. God, I might have to do this with Liana. Try the two next to each other. I thought Liana was well done.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
This is even more well done, too. What was the... Where is Liana? What was the... I think Liana was 117.0 or 1 proof. And this is 17.19. Mm-hmm. So this got about like 0.8% more proof on it. So it's got that much more heat than that one does. Because I do remember the heat on Liana, but I don't remember it as like lingering as long as this one is. This one's lingering a little bit longer. Mm. It almost tastes like a... I don't want to say like an upper echelon of Liana, but like the next level to Liana. It's like, all right, start off with Liana here, then work your way to Sean. This is really good. Whoever's mother this was or wife that works at Blue Run, that wife or mother came up with these notes. This is fucking fantastic. So, I got some work to do after we get done with this. I think I'm gonna be sipping on this for a little bit. That bacon spice.
Dude. Yeah, that sounds like, yeah. It's like you want to spend some time with that one.
Yeah.
Something that has more to offer, the more it opens up.
The best note on here is that fucking bacon spice, dude. That spice, man, it's like, oh, it gives you like a little sizzle on the side. Like, and I only feel it on the side of the body, too, as well. So I love it because this side, I get like some chocolate butterscotch notes or whatever and stuff. And then on here, I'm getting like the spices, smoky ember. And then it goes back on here. You get like that fucking s'more taste right now, like the smoky fire and stuff like that. Oh, like a what are those pizzas called? The oven toasted oven bread pizza or something like that, or wood oven. I forgot what they're called, but you see them all over at like LA. You pretty much see them everywhere nowadays.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Wood oven pizza stoves that they use to make.
Oh yeah, wood fire. Yeah, yeah,
wood fire. Yeah. So that's what it tastes like. It's been wood fire.
Mmm, that's interesting.
Mmm. Give it that last drop. Give me that last drop.
Damn. Well, there it is. I expect no less. Have you given any Blue Run less than last drop? Have you? I'm trying to think.
I think I might have given the Golden Rye, the first one, batch one, which is crazy because batch two is fucking phenomenal. I might have given the first batch of Golden Rye, though, maybe like a 3. Or a 2.5 or 3. I think I gave it a 2.5. And then Reflection.
Okay.
Okay. I got to go back on that one. Some of the standard releases, I'm pretty sure I probably did. Like either Reflection and... actually, no. I think Reflection I might have given the last try because I remember really loving that shit. Mm. That was one I just had to own. But I remember the first Golden Rye, whatever. I wasn't too crazy on that. Golden Rye Batch 2, though? Fuck, man. Oh, that shit is the juice right there. That is like, now who got the juice? Shit. And what I love about the emerald is the emerald here, the rye, it tastes kind of like how Liana the Sean. This tastes like an even more advanced version of that Golden Rye Batch 2. As you can see, I have been drinking the fuck out of this bottle. Like, this bottle is delicious as hell. Like, so the fact that they made these 10 extra bottles based off of this one and made these, it's like, come on, like, you can't fuck that up now, right? Like, because they damn near following the same blueprint of this one. So this one, people, I recommend. You can find this one at Total Wine. I think it runs for about like $109 or $119 or whatever. If you feel like spending $100, I recommend this rye right here. This Emerald Rye. Cody, if you need to spend $100 whatever and stuff, and you're looking for another whiskey flavor, I would recommend this highly.
I need another Blue Run bottle in my life. So that might be the one right there.
I don't touch that cash drink one we got because, you know, it's the only one I got. So so yeah, I tried to get two. I got three of these Emerald Rye ones or whatever. Man, this one right here, this one's my baby. I gave one away. Oh, I have four, but I gave one away as a gift. And I got this one, so I got two bottles left or whatever. But they're fucking phenomenal. The Emerald Rye kills it, man. And plus, I think it might be the best butterfly too. You can't see it on camera. It's got the reflection,
mm-hmm.
but there is like a shade of green on it. It looks like this one is a shade of pink. You just can't see it because it's not really highlighted in the camera very well because of the lighting or whatever. But I love that design as well too. But that's right there, man. That's the killer. This one's really fucking good too. It don't even taste like I'm drinking the 117 proof because the alcohol isn't like potent and ain't strong like that, whatever. I just love what I love about it is the heat and the notes on it, whatever and stuff. It's very flavorful, but it also has like a lot of heat to back it up to make it seem like it's stronger for those motherfuckers out there that say, I need some proof on there or whatever and stuff. But this is really good right here. I've never been disappointed, even though I gave the first Golden Rye probably – I can't remember either a 2.5 or a 3. Those are still good ratings. So I've never been disappointed with a Blue Run release. They've always just knocked out of the park as far as what I'm looking for, what I've been wanting or anything like that. So, man, I can't wait to – I think they're releasing an 8-year-old soon as well too. So
interesting.
Looking forward to that because I don't have any of their age statement bottles because I hopped on the Blue Run bandwagon probably like – end of 2021, and they started in 2020 when they released their age statement bottles, and those shits went off the shelves like ASAP. So they got an 8-year-old coming out. Can't wait to grab that. Like I said, I got my single barrel double oak bottle that should be getting delivered sometime this week. Can't wait for that. And hey, yeah, Blue Run, hit up your boys JB and Cody. We'll do a last drop release. What do you think about that? What do you think about that?
Let's do that. That sounds like a plan to me. Actually, that should have happened already. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah. Well, remember, it was going to happen with that one company. Remember? And,
oh, yes. Yeah. How could I forget?
Pass on that shit hard. He was like, I'm good, dog. Like, I don't want to do that.
you want to spend what?
Wants to fuck our reputation up? Wait, what?
This?
I don't know about that, dog. Like, that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Goddamn.
You about to get blocked.
Yeah. In the 86 session. Hell no. No, sir.
You know what I would really love to do? I don't even know how to do it either. I should probably ask Wes at court because he seems to be doing a lot of it now, whatever and shit. I want to do a beer one, like really bad. I want to do a sour release really bad, but I don't know how to do that, so.
Okay.
I want to do my own little side. I want that last drop logo because, like, the logos on cans, they post to fit that last drop logo on the can, dude. Oh, that'd be fucking nice.
That would be baller as fuck. Yeah.
So I would love to have. I don't know how to do that. I'm gonna actually. You know what? I'm gonna ask Wes. I'm gonna meet up with him. And be like, hey man, I want to do a sour beer. Sell it out your store or whatever and shit. Do like a store release of beer. Because he's been doing a few lately, and I've been drinking some whatever. He had this one. It was kind of it was a tart beer, if I'm not mistaken. And at first, I didn't really care for it that much. I'm sipping on it, and I'll probably tell him this too when I see him next time. I was sipping on it. I was like, ah, it's fine, cool, whatever and shit. And then for some reason, I don't remember if it was that one or can number two when I opened that one or whatever. It just fucking tasted amazing. Next thing I was playing video games, and the shit was just gone. I was looking at it like, where the fuck that can go? And I was like, I had to open up another one. Like, it just got, like, better, like, towards the end. So, I mean, at the beginning, I was like, I wasn't saying bad or anything. Like, I was just like, oh, it's not really that special. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. And kind of like on your review you did last month or whatever, your beer, it just got better without me even noticing it because I wasn't really paying attention to it. And I was just like, damn, what the fuck? It's gone already. So I opened up the next one. I was like, yo, this shit's really good, actually. So I think he just released a new one. It's not the fucking sour one I'm waiting on, but you know, I need a fucking sour beer, goddamn it, shit. That's Cody's apartment, so I'll just blame him.
Why not? Yeah. You gonna do it anyway?
Yeah. He's like, motherfucker, I just gave you a recommendation like a month ago. I was like, yeah, I know. Yeah, but I'm lazy. So that is the birthday edition here of the last drop of JB. like Cody's birthday, these funny enough, Cody's birthday month, his drinks usually suck because it's usually mezcal, whatever. But
yeah.
See, yeah. I'm spending a total of $60 on mezcal this week. I mean, this month here, okay? Like I ain't going.
I ain't going out spending like $40. That's what I'm gonna say. And I ain't sitting. Nah, and give me this. Not give me this year, mezcal. I am familiar with your game, sir.
You know the fucked up part about it is someone I know who doesn't fuck with mezcal. I tried to get her to get some mezcal recently, and she said, "I listened to your show finally, or whatever and stuff." And you know which episode I listened to? I said, "Which one?" She said, "Mezcal episode." Y'all said it tastes like shit. I was like. All right, never mind. You got me there then. So you got me there then. All right. So she was like, why the fuck would I go buy something if y'all said it tastes like shit? And I was just like, all right, yeah, never mind then. You got me there. Anyway, people, Cody needs to get out of here. I got to let him go now. So thank you for tuning in.
Skedaddle.
Yeah, we'll be back next week, like always and shit like that. So thank you for tuning in. I am your godfather, the birthday man himself of the week here. I'm the Godfather JB of whiskey.
I am the Godfather of craft beer, Cody.
And like we always say, livers will never be the same.
And glasses will never be dry.